sex is so negative in people's mind. Do you agree? We're living in a culture where sexuality is just, you know, narrowed down to sex, which is completely wrong. Physicals. Sexuality is something much broader concept than sexual activities that you do or sexual desires you have. It's much more than that. Its focus falls more on who you are than what you do. Okay, I want you to really tune in today, because people live with guilt, sexual guilt. Do you live with guilt? Whether it is illicit sexual activity that is going on in your life, or pornographic material that you are addicted to, so many people are living with guilt. And God does not want you to live in guilt. He doesn't, okay? So sexuality is more than what you do, but what you are, okay? So it is about person's identity. Now, would you think with me, what's the identity? That's who I am, okay? That's who I am in relation to the gender or genders. So where do we begin with this topic, okay? Just like any other topic, what's the origin or the genesis of sexuality? I think that's where we need to go. Do you agree? And we simply have two options. And first is an option where there is no creator. Atheistic thinking where when you consider the beginning or the origin of life, everything including human beings came out of nothing. Very scientific and very logical. I'm being sarcastic here. Yeah. That's the beginning of atheistic thinking. You do research. Everyone, the big speakers of atheistic thinking say everything came out of nothing. Very logical, right? Let alone be hopeful. So somehow everything, human being, came out of nothing, and somehow slowly, very, very slowly, evolved from a lesser species. We call evolution, right? To human. And therefore, sexuality is no different than any of the animals. How else can you make the distinction, right? So sex is for body, and it is for now, because when you die, you go back to nothing. There is no meaning to sexuality. That's atheistic thinking. And so you might as well enjoy and do whatever you wish, and that's what people do in this world. That's prevailing thoughts. Okay, which is really, really sad if you think about it. And the other option is obviously the Genesis or the Bible, the scripture, where the Lord, the Creator, uncaused, uncreated, being created everything, including sexuality. In fact, if you read the Bible, in the very first chapter of the Bible, it speaks about sexuality. Did you know that? Sex is God origin. Therefore, it is good. It is holy. Given that it is exercised and used and enjoyed within the right parameter. Okay? Let me read it to you. It's in the first chapter. Chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Then God said," listen, "God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created men in his own image, in the image of God. He'd created him, semicolon, male and female, he created them. And I want to pause for a second. Bible claims that sexuality, sexual identity, your sexual gender identity comes from the Lord. In the very first chapter of book of Genesis, it states that male and female he has given you. Okay? It's one or the other. It's either whatever atheistic thinking, which says everything came out of nothing, and you go back to nothing. Therefore, your sexuality is no different than animals. How else can you describe it, right? And it is for now, and it is for whatever the purpose you want to use it for. Verse 28 says, God blessed them, and God said to them, listen, be fruitful and multiply. That's procreation. That's God's heart. That's God's purpose. Okay, so unlike some religious and philosophical systems, Bible takes a very positive view of sex. I don't know whether you knew that. Sex is not, oh, that's so unspiritual. It is very spiritual. It is very spiritual. It affects you. It affects you very, very spiritually. And you know it does, right? So according to this Old Testament story of creation in Genesis 1 and 2, God himself is the one who made you and I sexual beings according to him, according to his image. Did you know that? God is a sexual being. It's pretty incredible. When we say we are created in the image of God, we're talking about God is a person, personality. God is not just flesh, right? God is a person, and God is also sexual, male, female, right? Stemming from God. Not just male, male and female. God is male nor female. God is a spirit, okay? And also morality. God is a moral being, and that's why we know what is right and wrong, what is wrong. And when you do something that is wrong in your conscience, you're bothered, and you should be bothered. Conscience. Biblical faculty that God has given to all of you. That's why you feel guilty. Okay? And spirituality. God is spirit. And so are you. You are created in the image of God. And you cannot separate those four categories separately. In other words, your sexual being or sexual life affects your spiritual life. And it affects your moral life. It affects your person. It affects who you are. Therefore, sexuality is a precious aspect of what person is. Okay? And if you consider this sexual revolution that is happening in Western society right now, basically, that's what is shaken. That is what is being shaken. The very core identity of a person. So it is not merely a description of what he does or what she does, but it is what he is and she is. And Bible says nothing embarrassing or shameful about physical expression of lovemaking. I know we have young children here, but I know they're learning this in school as well. Lovemaking or sexual activities. Bible does not look at that as a shameful thing. Can I just read the Bible that describes that? This is rated PG-13, I think. Proverbs 5:3-18. Let your fountain be blessed. All rejoice in the wife of your youth. A lovely deer, a graceful doe, let her breasts fill you with all times with delight. What do you think that is? That's a sexual expression. With your wife of your youth. One more, Ecclesiastes 9:9. Enjoy life with the wife when you love, whom you love, and all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that's your portion in life. That's God's portion that has given to you in life, in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Bible does not look at sex as dirty or bad or unspiritual. Okay? In the New Testament, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and if you could just picture Paul's days, Greco-Roman world in first century, which was grossly sexually immoral, worse than what it is right now. Can you even imagine that? New York is horrible right now. Western world is horrible right now. And yet, Greco-Roman world was like the sewers of this whole system. It was just a horrible system. Okay? And I'm going to explain it. And there were negative attitudes toward marriage and sexual relationship between husband and wife. And it's in the Bible in chapter 7. Okay? Because, you know, if you want to be a spiritually mature, you have abstained from sexual activities because it is so unspiritual. Well, Paul says outright that's heresy. That's not true. Okay? Without hesitation, in branding such attitude as heretical, New Testament calls people to message of Genesis and encourage them to receive God's gift. Sex is God's gift within the right parameter. Okay? Outside of the parameter, outside of the domain of God's gift, is very destructive. Okay? I need you to know this. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4 says, "For everything created by God is good." In other words, sex is good. Okay? "Nothing to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer." I'm just reading your expression. Some of you looking at me like, sex is good. Sex is spiritual. It absolutely is. And it affects you. It affects your partner. It affects your marriage. It affects your future marriage. It affects the partners of the people that you have relationship with, their marriage. It does. Okay? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 says, "Sexual relationship in marriage is as much part of what it means to honor God with your body as refusing to go to bed with a prostitute." That's exactly what it means. Okay? So it's God's plan and design for us to be sexual being, and you are, and I am. Okay? I'm a male. I was born as a man. And that's a gift of God. Okay? Created in the image of God, male and female. So what is the purpose? What are the purposes? Mainly two purposes that I want to explain. Okay? Two main purposes of God creating you and I as a sexual beings. Listen carefully, because there is so much lies out there, and you may be believing that, not only believing that, living that, with such guilt. And God wants to free you. Okay? So, what are the purposes of God creating us to be sexual beings? Number one, okay, God made sex for procreation. And don't laugh, because I don't think that's funny. God made you sexual beings for procreation. Genesis 1:28 says, "God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it.'" That's God's plan and God's design. It takes male and a female to procreate. That was God's plan. And that was God's design. Here we see the basis for family. Do you see? That's how family is to continue to produce and create and grow. Do you see the relationship? In our world, if you think with me, in our Western world, the focus of interest is prevention of birth control, or even worse, abortion. But God's heart is to be fruitful and multiply. Do you see what's happening? God's heart, God loves people because they are created in the image of God. And our focus is to prevent birth, which is horrible, isn't it? Or even worse, aborting the babies, living babies. God's plan and design, therefore, is his heart is to be fruitful and multiply godly children who are made in the image of God to subdue the world. Isn't that's exactly what evangelism is and the mission is, isn't it? Okay? So Bible teaches that having children is a special blessing for which married couple should be thankful to God for. I don't know, you know, if you read Psalm 121, right? It speaks about that. Having children is a special blessing of God. God needs to open up the womb for you to have a baby. Remember the story of like Hannah, story of like Rachel, you know, and they're barren. And God opens up the womb. It's God's grace for you to have a baby and procreate. So that's the first purpose for God to create it as a sexual being. But the second one I want you to listen. The second one is in creating men and women as sexual being is given even greater prominence in the Bible. Sex is for relationship. A special relationship. Sex is not just for physical, sensual pleasure, sinful pleasure. It's for relationship, special relationship, which is meant to be permanent, an exclusive relationship of something called marriage, that covenant relationship. To be united and to cleave and to become one. I'm going to explain. Sex is to become one. Okay? So Genesis 2 tells us God created men and women to be united in the marriage relationship, and the New Testament confirms it. Jesus confirms it in Matthew chapter 19, and Ephesians 5 confirms it. So let me just explain this, okay? Marriage relationship is a special God-given relationship between a man and a woman to create and have a special relationship. And it is given in this kind of statement. Therefore, a man shall leave his mother and father and to be united, remember, to cleave, to dabak, remember that word, covenant word, to be united with his wife, a woman, to become one. Okay? So the key word, as you see here, is a man, between a man and a woman, is to be united. The word, the Hebrew word is dabak, and we went over this word when we were going through marriage, and which means to cleave, to cement, which is a covenantal word between God and his people. Do you see the relationship? God and his people are united. Christ and his people are united. And your wife and your husband is united. Do you see the relationship? Okay, there's a clear relationship. So the relational purpose of human sexuality is far more than physical. Far more than just your sensual, which brings nothing but guilt, right? It is meant for a union, now listen to this, that unites a whole person of a husband with a whole person of a wife. Let me repeat that, okay? This sexual relationship, sexual union, it is designed by God, is meant by God to unite a whole person, 100% of a person of husband with 100% of wife. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That's what it means to become one. That's God's intention. That's God's original design. In other words, when you have a sexual relationship, it is a sort of like the highlight or the expression of my commitment to you 100%. I'm yours 100%. And you are mine 100%. That's why we become one. Can we just pause for a second? That's a deep relationship. That's a special relationship. And that's the way he designed it. And we abuse it. So what happens? We destroy ourselves. It's not like, you know, whatever, right? There are always consequences to sin. right? Dabak is the word that describes in the scripture the covenantal relationship between God and his people. And husband and wife, a dabak, become one, and it is expressed through sexual relationship. Okay? So you know it's not just physical. It's deeply uniting. That's why casual sex, listen to this, casual sex, premarital sex, imaginary sex, extramarital sex is so deeply destructive. Let me explain this, okay? Just briefly. You give yourself to someone, you have a relationship with someone, that you do not mean to do that. You do not want to give 100% to him. You do not give the rest of your life to him. You do not want to be just one with him or her, and yet you still do it. When you do that, oftentimes it is due to simple, self-driven, hormone-driven pleasure, right? Impulse. Sinful impulse. Physical, sensual impulse. But when you do that, what you're doing is you're using that person. You're saying, oh, it's mutual. No, but you're still using that person because you don't mean to give yourself to him or to her. You're using that person for you, yourself, your pleasure, your enjoyment, your fulfillment, without intention of giving yourself your whole self to him or to her. So you are ignoring, now listen, and you're lying to that person. You're manipulating that person, using that person for yourself. And in the process, you make that person less than a person. You are depersonalizing that person, or dehumanizing that person. Womanizers are dehumanizing people. We need to see this and repent. So many people say, like, sort of like a joke, oh yeah, when I was younger, I was such a womanizer. Right? People have relationship with over 100 people. I hear stories like that. I mean, more than multiple hundreds. That's what I live for. Every weekend, that's what I used to do. Do you see what's happening? It's depersonalizing and dehumanizing. So what happens as a consequence? Let me just explain to you and for you to think about. I want this to be deeply spoken to your heart. When you live like that, when you are having casual sex, premarital sex, extramarital sex, sex that's outside the boundary of the right parameter of the scripture, you become more and more manipulating person. Unreal person, unsincere person, manipulating person. You can see that, right? Because you are using the person all the time. Dehumanizing, selfish, liar. Okay? And your partner, whether it is he or she, her life and her future, his life and his future marriage is affected because he's not going to be your wife. And he or she will never forget you. That's why it is so destructive. If you think about it, you don't forget that person. You don't. Right? And your partner, his life or her life and soul is affected, who will one day be someone else's spouse, perhaps. And you have affected and ruined him, ruined her. Right? So it'll ruin your life and your partner's life and their children's life. That's what the ramification of the sexual immorality is. In this context, in which Bible bans an all extramarital relationship, sexual relationship, let me give you some list of it. Adultery, okay? Premarital sex. Sex with an animal. It's in the Bible, people. It's not just in Germany, which is they're trying to legalize that right now. Can you believe that? Right? Sex with a child. Sex with, like, relatives, mother and father, you know, uncles and aunts. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Right? Or having sex with same gender, homosexuality. All of these. It's not just homosexuality that Bible condemns. It condemns every sinful relationship. Equally. Okay? Leviticus 18:22 says, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination," which means exceptionally hateful. God exceptionally hates that. Right? Romans 1:26 says, "For this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passion." People are burning with dishonorable passion. Burning, right? "For their women exchanged natural relationships for those that are contrary to the nature." Okay, let me repeat the list. Adultery. Someone who's, you're married and outside of your marriage. Premarital sex, before you commit yourself and make covenant before, and you're having relationship. Sex with animals, sex with children, sex with relatives, sex with same gender. All of these, all same thing. Okay, it's destroying you. It's destroying your partner. So here's the conclusion. In 1 Corinthians 6:9, and this kind of repeats in Revelations. Listen carefully to this list. "Oh, do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" In other words, you are not going to get into the kingdom of God. And who are those people? "Do not be deceived, neither sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, and men who practice homosexuality." Did you see that? Four things were listed, and four out of three has to do with sexual immorality, sexual relationship. Sexually immoral will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? Adulterers. And idolaters. And those who practice homosexuality. Scripture is very clear about that. Okay? Because God designed that sexual relationship and created you as a sexual beings so that you could demonstrate that relationship for the gospel, and you are destroying that. Okay? And then Jesus comes along in the New Testament, and he taught that, Matthew 5:27-28, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Just looking. Pornography destroys your soul. It destroys your soul. Okay? It destroys your life. It destroys your future marriage. Okay? So all extramarital sex is wrong in itself, because it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, teaches that, now listen to this, there's something special about sexual sin. "He who sins sexually sin against his own body." Every other sin is outside of your body, okay? Stealing, lying, drinking, getting drunk, all that outside of your body. But this particular sin is against your own body. Your own body. And sin destroys you. Sin is the ultimate destroyer. But this particular sin destroys your inside. Your inside is destroyed. If you live sexually sinfully, your inside is destroyed. You became a manipulating person, dehumanizing person. Someone who use other people for yourself kind of people. Okay? That's what the scripture is saying. And I was thinking about this expression, this particular expression. Every other sin is outside of your body, but sexual sin is against your own body. I'm not really sure whether Paul is meant to say it is the greater sin, which I think it is really affecting you, because if it is destroying your insight, and what he's about to describe is really, really big, but definitely he's saying it is a unique sin, unique sin. And if you look at the list of the unrighteous people who cannot get into the kingdom of God, the list tops by sexual sins. So do you see the place of spiritual nature of sexuality? Idolatry, what is that? Having an idol, and it is surrounded by sexual sins. You know why you have sexual sins? Because you're idolizing yourself. Because you live for yourself. You live for your joy, your pleasure. The more you do it, the greater that kind of person you become. Selfish, self-exalting, idolater. Okay, so what does that mean, against your own body? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 through 20, Paul is speaking to the believers at Corinth. And Corinth is known for sexual immorality. Just like Antioch, just like the rest of the whole Roman world, just like our New York City, Times Square, right? It's known. And sexual immorality was so rampant, even inside the church, it was present. And it was not a just like activity problem. It was a theological gospel problem. Listen to this. Okay? It was a theological gospel issue because people inside the church were thinking with this cultural thinking of dualistic thinking, dualistic belief of the Greek and Greek culture, basically saying body and material is bad. It's not going to make it to eternity, so it doesn't matter what you do with body and your material. So sex is just sex. Okay? Food is nothing. It means nothing. It's not going to make eternity. You know, body is bad. Therefore, sex is nothing. Sex is just for pleasure. Sex is just for the body. If you listen to this, doesn't it sound like how we think in our culture? We think like that. It's just sex. What's the big deal? To this prevailing non-biblical way of thinking, basically saying, you know, sex is just physical thing. It doesn't really matter. Paul writes to Corinthian church adamantly against that. That's absolutely wrong. And this is how he describes it, if you just listen to me. Verse 13 says, food is meant for stomach and stomach for food. That's what the Corinthians were saying. In other words, food and stomach, it means nothing. It's all bad. It's all going to be perished. It's going to be destroyed. It doesn't really matter. And to that, Paul said, yes, that's true. God will destroy both one and the other. Yes, that is true. However, your body, now listen, your body, your physical body is not for sexual immorality, but it is for the Lord. I don't know whether you ever thought about this. Now, listen, your physical body is for the Lord. Do you understand that? Now, this is a big teaching. Your physical body is for the Lord, and Lord for the body. In other words, people thought body is bad, it's going to perish. No. In fact, Paul is saying, and the scripture is saying, your physical body, soma, is eternal. Did you know that? I know you were taught that. Resurrection, we're going to have a bodily resurrection. Bodily resurrection. Okay? What's the reason that body is for the Lord? What's the theological, biblical truth about our physical bodies? Two reasons. Now listen, okay? The first is, body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, because God, just as God raised the Lord, will also raise us up by the power. In other words, we will have, our body will be resurrected, and it'll be eternal. So don't abuse it. Don't contaminate it with prostitutes and illicit extramarital, sexual filth. That's what Paul is saying. which was prevalent in Corinthian church. And second reason he gives is, do you not know your body? Now listen, your soma, body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Deeply spiritual. Sexuality, sexual relationship is deeply spiritual. Right? Don't you know that your body are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you are a, your body is the member body of Christ, the church. What is your spirit? Just, you know, your spirit? No, your body is. Look at me, please, people. So the way Corinthians thought, body is bad, so sex is nothing. Sex is just for pleasure. It doesn't really matter. And that's how people think, you know, in this dark culture. Don't fall into that. Right? And there is a greater reason. The second truth about the body and the sexual relationship is in verse 16, it says, do you not know that he who joined the buck to a prostitute, and usually the Corinthians went to temple to have sexual relationship. Do you see that sexuality and sexual relationship and idolatry go hand in hand? So if you join with prostitute in the temple, and you become one body with her, as it is written, two shall become one flesh. Where do we see that? Genesis 2:24, within the teaching and the parameter of marriage, that special, mutual, permanent, God-blessed relationship between husband and wife. You become one. But when you have a sexual relationship with a prostitute outside of your marriage, and you're becoming one, deeply spiritually affecting you. Do you hear it? The second truth about our body is, it's the eternal body, member of Christ, temple of the Holy Spirit, and do you not know you are being united, cleaved, the buck. You know, when you have a sexual relationship outside of marriage, which you don't mean to give yourself, you'll have a hard time forgetting that person for the rest of your life. And it's going to affect you. It's going to affect your marriage. It's going to affect you, right? Only by grace we could be not affected by that. Grace forgives. But we don't forget like God. God forgives and forget. But a lot of times we don't have that ability. So brothers and sisters, especially those who are preparing for yourself marriage, prepare yourself for marriage. Those who are married and never thought about this, you need to really think about this and repent. You really need to repent. Okay? This is a deeply spiritual matter, because that's the kind of person you became. And that's how you treat your spouse. And that's how you treat others. Very, very manipulatively, selfishly, for yourself. And you don't even know it. You know, I don't mean to say I know everything, but people who had a multiple sexual relationships, man, when they cannot even look at you in the eyes. You can't be sincere. Because you've been dehumanizing, depersonalizing people for so long. Okay? Verse 19 says, you should never join together immorally, sexual immorality, with a prostitute. Don't do it. Pray for your marriage. Wait. Ask the Lord. Okay? Because your body is the temple. Temple. Your body is temple. Can you imagine temple being united with a prostitute? That's what Paul is saying. Never be. May it never be. You can't do that. sexual relationship joined together with a prostitute and joined to the Lord has a much profound, deep relationship than physical. It's not. It affects you. It affects your partner. It affects your marriage. It affects your partner's marriage. It affects their children. It affects the society. Okay. So what are we to do with body and life? Paul concludes in verse 19b, you're not your own. Another reason you cannot abuse your body is because your body is not your own. You're bought at a price. Don't use my, let's say, car for your garbage to go out for to get drunk. You can't do that. That's mine. He bought you with the blood of Christ. Your body was bought. It's not yours. You were bought at a price. So what are you supposed to do with your body? With your sexual liberty? Glorify God. Okay? With your body. That's what the scripture is teaching. Brothers and sisters, this spirituality topic is deeply spiritual. Positively or negatively, it affects you. Some of you may be living in guilt and you look guilty. A lot of times it shows. You can't be real, right? You try to hide. Just like what we see in Genesis chapter 3. Always trying to hide. Always trying to say things to cover up. Okay. But God came so that we could live without this guilt. You need to bring this, all these sinful history and baggage and sinful, deep sinful propensity and desire to the Lord at the foot of the cross. And the sin needs to be broken in your life. Okay? And that's the gospel, people. It is not saying it's unpardonable sin. However, it is not simple or nothing sin. No sin is nothing. Sin is sin. It's serious. It's not just homosexuality. It's all extramarital relationship. Bible condemns. And you need to repent. Okay? So I ask you to think about this topic. And we're going to look at this topic in 2 weeks. Because next week we will be having Thanksgiving potluck. But I hope this opens up different things in your heart. We are created as sexual beings. And that's who we are. It's more than what you do. It's your identity. It is what God has given to you as a gift. So that for you to enjoy and live out to shine that precious gift that we have in Christ Jesus. Let's pray.